Well, the scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear the words of the Lord. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Okay, I could do half of that, not all of it. Then, well, maybe the wild honey was to cover up the taste of the locusts. You think? That's what I believe. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along with Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able to, from these stones, to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to tie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. Yes, thanks be to God. I sort of love this passage a lot. It kind of reminds us, even though what we know as fact, or at least what we believe as fact, if we can go back that this many thousands of years to get to the truth, that John the Baptist, was not an adult before Jesus was born. They were born just around the same time. And yet, his words are so profound for us, even today. There has to be a way for us to prepare our hearts. There has to be a way for us to prepare our hearts. Sometimes it's little glimpses of what people have said to us. Sometimes it's seeing things miraculously happen around us. Sometimes it's just this feeling that we have that there is something. There's something to the grace of God. There's something to God's world that draws us to Jesus. I don't know how some of you feel, but I love the season of Advent. I didn't love it when I was a kid, you know, because I didn't really care that much. I wasn't paying attention. But as I grew in maturity, I grew to love Advent. Because Advent, while we still had to do some of the Christmas preparations early, Advent was a time for us to focus on our relationship with God. And to do that, we look at the promises of God. What is it that God promises us? Now, for some of you, you might have thought, God promises never to leave us. God promises always to be with us. God promises that, well, you can fill in your own blank. What is it that God promises to you? Because I'm not really sure all of us see the promises of God the same. And I think that is the genius of God. Because God knows each of us so personally that God plans that just for us. That it explains to me why that it, in times when I'm worried or I'm just fretting, that I can feel calm. At times when I'm too full of myself, I get taken down a couple pegs. See, God knows us so well. God knows exactly what we need at that time. And so Advent reminds us, and it helps us focus on the promises of God. Now, in the midst of this, there's lots and lots of tension with contemporary culture. I know when I was growing up, my mother would get so angry when she would see Christmas trees up, like in November, or even early December. By mid-December, she was getting a little antsy, and it was time for us to go get our Christmas tree, too. And we had to get it up, because as she said, well, we have to have time to enjoy it, because we're going to take it down right after Christmas. Okay. There are ways that each of us adapt. There are ways that we celebrate God with us. And I would like to tell you that the way that I do it is the right way, but, you know, it's only right for me. And the way that you celebrate is right for you as long as I am listening to God, as long as you are listening to God. And we know sometimes when the calendar has to be sped up a little bit. I remember when one of my cousins was being sent to Vietnam, and that was at a time when very few people came home. And we celebrated Christmas in August, right before he left, because we knew we certainly weren't going to see him this Christmas. But we also didn't know if we would ever see him again on this side of heaven. And while my mom had some trouble with it, imagine that, she understood. The celebration of God with us, God right beside us, is powerful. And any way we can get that out and help people understand, well, I think that's it. So, in the midst of this, here comes John the Baptist. Now, when I was in seminary, we were taught to never say that. We could say John the Baptizer, because while I went to a predominantly United Methodist seminary, oh, there were some Baptists there, and they would get a little puffy, you know, when they said, John the Baptist, see, he's ours. There might have been some denominational wars in seminary, I don't know. But, well, yes, I do. But here comes John the Baptizer, and I had these echoes of Godspell ringing in my ears, did you? When he says, prepare the way for the Lord. He is coming. Repent and be saved. It's just the opening of Godspell, and because that's when I was raised, boy, that rings in my ears. I like that. But John asks us to repent, to examine ourselves, and then to bear good fruit. Now, here's the catch, and that I have to kind of keep reminding. I have to remind myself that bearing good fruit is not what I believe is good fruit. I have to really look to see what it is that God is asking us to do in the Bible. But I believe that it's God's desire for each one of us to realign our life, to realign ourselves with Christ. And because we're human, because we're living in the midst of a world of humans, it's a little bit like, when I was growing up and I had to get braces. There had to be adjustments made. And after the braces came off, I had to go back to the orthodontist. Don't ask me why, but I had to go back to the orthodontist, and he checked to make sure that my teeth stayed aligned. I know that's kind of a crude comparison, but I think that that's what God does for us. And that every year as we celebrate Advent and as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, I think that that's what God is reminding us. How do you, Laura, need to realign your life? How do each of you need to realign your life? I can't tell you that, but God will help. God helps me all the time. God helps me say, okay, let's take a big deep breath. This is where you're kind of messing up. Now let's get you realigned. It's not about feeling guilty. It's not about feeling like, oh man, I'm such a horrible person. It's God saying, no, we're just going to realign. It's like with cars and tires. It's like with my teeth. But even more so, that God has the power to transform us so that we are more in line with Jesus Christ. It also reminds, God is reminding us that all of us, no matter where we are, we get to enlarge our vision. The wilderness is such a great example that God reminds us that while people were living in the wilderness, they were led out. And the wilderness often is about sin and rebellion. And even in the midst of sin and rebellion, we learn how to trust and obey God. So, the question for all of us, I think, is could Advent, this season of Advent, remind us of the times we have wandered away and teach us to remember the promises of God? Because when Jesus comes, Jesus is pointing out the way. So for those of us who are kind of lost in the wilderness, maybe that's what we need to hear. So, Advent reminds us that just like Jesus called out to Israel to say, repent, learn from your wicked ways. You're not bad people, you're just kind of going in a wrong direction. So, you know, let me get you back on the right path. Advent calls the church to do the same. To offer hope for those living in darkness, to offer peace for those living in turmoil, to offer hope for those who are at the end of their rope. We need Advent. We need this time not to get so caught up in all the Christmassy things, but we need this time to remember. And we need this time to affirm all that Christ means to us. So, may this Advent remind us. May this Advent keep us rehearsing the way that God wants us to live. And could this Advent help us to be confident that God's kingdom is here at hand? Oh, if I open my eyes, and if I keep my hope and faith in Jesus our Christ. In just a few minutes, we're going to celebrate communion together. As you come forward to take communion, or as you sit in the pew and we bring it to you, listen. Listen for the call. Amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.